hospice chaplain by day. Some of you may have used the services of Amedisys Hospice. I go in this area. I have a patient up in a Union. And so I'm a hospice chaplain by day with Amedisys Hospice. And then I also own a business. It's a little unusual for a minister. I own the Quick Lube in Jeffersonville, Indiana. So I noticed you have a couple of church vans over there. Silver and gold I do not have, but 530 I give to you. Those who oversee the church vans, I'll be happy to change the oil in them for free if that's not being done. So a little bit about me. I'm originally from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Don't fear, those wild days of mine are behind me. I went to school in Fort Worth, Texas. I have a master's degree from a seminary there. I've been in ministry now for, I guess, pushing 25 years. That's pretty much it. I've pastored three Southern Baptist churches. I've been the executive director of a few rescue missions. You may have never heard of a rescue mission. There's a big one in Indianapolis called Wheeler Rescue Ministries. A friend of mine runs that. It's a ministry to homeless people, those with drug and alcohol issues. So that's a little bit about me. It's great to be with you all this morning. I'll tell you, this is a pretty little sanctuary. Of all the churches I've been in, I've probably preached in 200 churches, and you guys did an awesome job setting all this up. This is beautiful. I'm telling you, someday I wouldn't mind my casket being right there in this church. That's a beautiful place to, I'd love for my casket to be in a church like this, okay? All right, it's great for you all to be here today. This morning I'm going to share with you a subject that has really been burdening to me. It's what to do with burdens, and I think, does everybody have a sermon outline? Do you have a sermon outline? Fill out your sermon outline. Take that to the buffet down the street, Ponderosa. What's the one down the street? They'll give you 10% off. Not really, but it'll be a blessing to you anyway. And this morning, we're going to look at what to do with burdens. And I just remember as a young man giving my life to Jesus Christ and coming into the church, and people just expressing all kinds of burdens and what they were living with. And I just pray today that God would so move in your life and in mine, really, that we would learn how to deal with burdens biblically. And so at that, would you please stand? And this is what I want you to do. My family, you've never done this before with me, but if you would, stand and just grab your Bible and repeat this after me before, and then I'm going to have you remain standing as I read God's Word. So if you would, please stand. Hold on to your Bible and repeat this after me. This is my Bible. It is God's holy and inspired Word. With God's help, I will do what it says. I hope to be convicted by its truths, comforted by its wisdom, and encouraged by its promises. If you would, please turn over to Galatians chapter 6, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 5, and then skip down to verse 14. Galatians chapter 6. For my children who go to Christian Academy of Indiana, Galatians chapter 6 is right after Galatians chapter 5. Okay? All right. Very good. Thank you, sir. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to be reading at verse 1 of Galatians chapter 6. I think we're all there. All right. Let me, one moment, please. I'm all there. I just need my glasses. All right. Brothers, if someone is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual should restore such a person with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourselves so that you will not be tempted. Also, carry one another's burdens. In this way, you fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone considers himself to be something when he is nothing, he is deceiving himself. But each person should examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in himself alone and not in respect to someone else. For each person will have to carry his own load. Jump down to verse 14, please. But as for me, I will never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Thank you. You may be seated. What to do with burdens? What to do with burdens? You might be hearing this morning, Phil, you don't understand. I don't have any burdens. My life's good. They're coming. put on a calendar. Burdens are coming. Let me just share with you some of mine. lest any older folks in here would look at me and say, well, that young guy's never been through any burdens. Let me share with you some of mine at 50 years old. I was 6 years old when my father died. I was raised in a home where my mother was a drunk, an alcoholic. I sold dope on the streets of North Philadelphia, right outside of Philadelphia, when I was 8 years old. By the time I was 18 years old, all my grandparents were dead. I never even knew the parents on my father's side. It wasn't long after that, because of living a foolish life in Albuquerque, New Mexico, I was briefly homeless, sleeping on a park bench. I've had a daughter die. I've been through stuff. And so I pray that even just my opening would encourage some of you here. Well, I've never been through those things. And let me tell you, God is the great burden barrier. He's awesome. And I pray there's nobody in this room that can tell you about the glory of God and his way to take our burdens like what I've been through. And so if nothing else, my prayer this morning that my life would be, and some of the things I share as we go, would be a tremendous blessing to you. But certainly, God's word is here for you to be your medicine this morning to help you bear your burdens. I'm sorry you've gone through death. That's my life. All day long, I hold the hands of people that are dying. Death is tough. I've been through it a lot. Many of you have been through it. And some of you are still carrying, you'll always bear the scars of death, but you ought not be carrying the burden of death. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. I was pastoring a church in Lexington, Kentucky, and I'd walk into one of our ladies' home, and her husband, Harry, who died 20 years ago, she had this big shrine to Harry. And I finally got to the comfort level with her where I finally said, listen, stop it. This isn't healthy for you. All you're doing is looking in your rearview mirror all the day, and it's hurting you. Just put down two pictures of Harry and move on with your life. This isn't healthy for you. Listen, that's a big boy conversation. I was really trepid to get into there, but I was just listening to her, and she needed to hear that in Jesus' name. And maybe some of you this morning, you need to hear it. What to do with your burdens and what not to do with your burdens, okay? I've ministered, as I said, to drug addicts and alcoholics over the years. And it's amazing to me the way some people who have never touched drugs or alcohol went through a traumatic event in their lives, flipped that around, and now they're an addict. That's not a healthy way to deal with our burdens, as you know. All right, this morning, I believe God's word has for each of us, tucked in Galatians chapter 6, three ways to handle our burdens. One does not step upon the other. They're oftentimes all at the same time is the way we're dealing with our burdens. Okay, I hope you have a sermon outline. I hope you have a pen with you. What to do with my burdens this morning. Number one on your outline, we find in verse 2, it is, I must share my burdens. I must share my burdens. Verse 2 says about sharing one another's burdens. And that word burden in the original, in the Greek, means a soldier's backpack, and that means something pressing in on us, physically or emotionally. Our burdens that we bear. Well, we vacationed this past week in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and I saw this lady who had an adopted child from China as well. I have two. She had one. Her child was a little bit different from mine. Her child didn't have feet. This little 7-year-old girl was in a wheelchair, and she was smiling, happy as could be. And part of me wanted to go over and said, didn't anybody tell you you don't have feet? You don't have feet. And she was happy as could be in a Christian home, by the way. And that's how we should be. She wasn't all downcast and, hey, Phil, I don't have feet. Yes, I could see that. I've been around some people. I don't have an arm. I know you told me last week and then you told me the week before that. It's not going to grow back. This may sound cruel, but this is how we deal with our burdens. Number one, I must share my burdens. I like what the Message says, or translation of the Bible says. stoop down and reach out to others who are oppressed. John Stott, the great theologian, says, Christians should not keep their burdens to ourselves, but should seek a Christian friend who will help bear them with us. And Martin Luther said, almost 500 years ago, Martin Luther said, Christians must have broad shoulders and husky bones in order to carry the burdens of his brothers and sisters. We need to share our burdens. On your outline, I think there's two sins that go along with this. And guys, I'm talking to you. Letter A on your outline, the first sin I believe that people get into is not sharing. Not sharing. Well, Phil, I'm kind of a private person. I don't like to tell other people my problems and what I'm going through. That's fine. You can feel that way. You're just not biblical. The body of Christ is such where God has placed you in the body of First Baptist Church Crothersville because there's other brothers and sisters in the Lord that are going through life with you. And I'll be honest with you, having pastored three churches, I had a lady one time that said, yeah, just pray for me. Tomorrow I'm going in for this surgery. Well, I would have liked to know a little bit earlier. And then sometimes I'll get a guy, yeah, but Brother Phil, pray for me. Yesterday I had this surgery done. Well, why didn't you tell me? I would have came to the hospital to be with you. It's almost offensive to me, honestly. It is so important for you, men in particular, to share your burdens. Am I telling you to hang out your laundry for all the world to see all the time? Not at all. But you shouldn't stuff it in there either. You need to share your burdens. I believe there's people in this wonderful church. You know what? Some of your burdens I can't take away. People aren't going to come back from the dead. Some of the trauma that happened to you as a child, I can't go back and undo it. But I can give a listening ear. I can sympathize with you, and I can pray with you as others in this church can. It is so important that we share our burdens. These two sins again, the first one is not sharing. And I just encourage you and I admonish you in the Lord, men in particular. If you're not used to that, I understand. I grew up in a home where you didn't say the word, I love you. You didn't hug people. You didn't say any of those types of things. That wasn't a manly thing to do. But then I gave my life to Jesus. And Jesus tells me to share my burdens, to share my hurts, to share my pains. And you should too. Don't tuck it inside. That's why really one of the aspects I love being a hospice chaplain. People, the first thing I tell them when I'm a hospice chaplain, oh, I'm so sorry. No, I don't have warts. You don't have to say you're sorry. Everything is good. It's really they have the problem. But being a hospice chaplain and being around people that are dying all the time, on my end, keeps life fresh. Keeps life fun. I'm enjoying the day. I'm enjoying beautiful. When I'm shooting down 65 and looking off and I see the whole pasture land filled with beautiful purple flowers, I'm enjoying it. Life is great. When I walk into someone's hospital bed in their living room and they're dying, they know they're dying, Jesus knows they're dying, and I know they're dying. What a blessing to be there and to fun around a little bit, make them smile, be a blessing to them spiritually. Life is so short and precious. Listen, we need to share our burdens. Letter A, number two, letter B on your outline, the two sins, is not bearing. Not bearing. And listen, I was amazed at where I came from in my life and going into the Christian church, becoming a born-again Christian in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and it's been mind-boggling at times how I'd hear people in the church, there'd be a prayer meeting, and say, if everybody would be so kind as to pray for this prayer request in my life. And I'm scratching my head. Why don't we bear her burden? For example, I was in a church. This wonderful older woman, saint of the Lord, expressed a prayer concern. Would everybody pray? The roof on my house is leaking. And I'm ready to come unglued. I came marginally unglued. I did mention I'm from Philadelphia. I said, no, we're not praying for your roof. The two general contractors that go to this church are going to fix your roof. Praise the Lord, a miracle. Your roof's fixed. We need to, how in the world can Christian men sit on their fannies as this hurting Christian woman, her husband is dead, her roof's leaking, and they're not being mobilized to fix that need? They're not bearing. Had I not been there, let me tell you a little bit the way it would have went. Okay, let's just pray for her right now that her roof gets fixed. No! We go fix her roof. We don't need to pray about her roof. I got a revelation. You're supposed to go fix it. I was in a similar, same church, small prayer meeting. There was four or five of us. And the pastor, I wasn't pastoring the church, he says, if y'all would, just pray. It was January in northeastern Pennsylvania. My heater went out. If y'all would just pray, it's tough. I got some missionaries living with me right now. We're using portable electric heaters, and one of the guys in our small little group of five was a general contractor. I looked at him. When you leave here, you're going to Pastor Terry's house and fix his heater. We're not going to pray about it. You're going to do it. Am I being mean? No. It's just amazing to me at times how Christians, basking in the love of Jesus Christ, who have been miraculously and wonderfully saved, aren't a little bit more sensitive to the hurts of people in their own congregation. Listen, we need to share our burdens. We also need to be a little bit more sensitive about bearing one another's burdens. I'm blessed to own an oil lube. Let me tell you what's neat about the oil lube. I don't know, I think we're up to about 10 different churches now where I can't give money out all over the place, but I can change the oil for free. Some of the churches I know are a little cash strapped. What's a blessing for me is I'm in a position at this point in my life, owning a business, I can take care of it. In fact, I'll put brakes on it. I can take care of a vehicle pretty well. I got guys that do all that. Don't ask me to do it for you. That's bearing burdens. It's neat. I'm leveraging 5W30, of all things. Who knows? I lived in Texas for 5 years, and it took me to go to Indiana to get in the oil business. It's just a little something I have. Again, my father died when I was a kid. If you have electrical problems, trust you, me, I'm not the guy to see. I'll make things worse and probably kill myself in the process. I don't have much. If you have a son or grandson addicted to drugs, I'm your guy. And I want to use my skill sets in the Church of Jesus Christ. And you should too. If there's people bearing burdens around you, listen, this is fun. Someday we'll all be with Jesus in heaven. And I know it's kind of weird, but for me, when I get to heaven someday, I'll just be worshiping him all day. And I look forward to it, don't get me wrong. No more ripped calf muscles and no holding hands of dying people. I can't wait for heaven. But this and now is where God needs me and you. We can make a greater impact for Jesus here than we can in heaven. That day is coming. I know it's there. It's my reward and yours. But be used by him here and now. Share your burdens and bear your burdens. There was this missionary who went to Africa, and he was standing on the top of a hill, and he looked down. He saw this long line of young African kids walking up, and they started passing him. How you doing? How you doing? One kid after another passed him. How you doing? And he looked down about, 30 feet away. This one kid had this big thing on his back. He said, what in the world is that? And the kid gets closer to him, and he's looking at this big bundle on the back of this kid. Not only is he looking, and the eyes opened. This bundle had eyes. And the kid's walking past, and this young missionary from the United States didn't know what to say. He said, that's quite a burden you're bearing. And that little African boy looked back at him and says, no, he's not a burden. He's my brother. He's my brother. I'll walk anywhere with him. He don't have legs. I'll climb up any mountain. I'll walk across any river. That's my brother. He can't do it for himself. He needs me. I have healthy legs. He doesn't. I'll never complain carrying my brother. And brothers and sisters in Christ, bearing the burdens of other Christians, it's not a burden. It's a blessing. Loving and caring for others in Jesus' name. Number one on your outline, I must share my burdens. Number two, I'll move along a little quicker. We need to meet the Methodists at the restaurants, okay? Number two on your outline, I must shoulder my burdens. Not only do you share them, look at verse 5. Each one should carry his own load. Load is synonymous with burdens, the same word. Here again, anything emotionally or physically pressing in on us. And there's some burdens I can't, I can't carry. My daughter has a health, has an ear thing right now we're kind of working through. I can't carry that. I can pray for her, hold her hand. She's got to go in there and have that little bit of ear work done. Your children have been through that, and you can only carry burdens so far. Let me tell you why this point's important. Some people say, did I tell you this person died in my life 20 years ago, 30 years ago? Did I tell you I lost this limb or did that or had this car accident or went through this? Yes, you did. Sorry about it. We could pray about it. It's your burden now. Your eyes, you're probably not going to see again. You just have to get used to it. I can walk you around the grocery store, but your sight's not coming back. You have to shoulder this burden yourself. I need to share my burdens. I need to shoulder my burdens. William Barclay, the great theologian, says, there's a duty which none can do for us and a task which we are personally responsible. We need to shoulder our own burdens. Not just shoulder. Some people are good about shouldering them and not sharing them. We need to share our burdens. But there comes a time where we probably need to get out of whining mode and complaining mode, using our burden for His glory. I think of people like Johnny Erickson Tada. You've heard of her. Became a quadriplegic as a teenage girl. She used her being confined to a wheelchair to be a phenomenal Christian speaker, artist with her mouth, motivational speaker, singer, phenomenal woman. Singer, and God, I've seen it time and time again, and you have as well. I know another guy, Nick Vujicic. You ever heard of Nick? Nick was born without legs and arms. He was the son of a pastor. While Nick was a teenager, he contemplated committing suicide. He couldn't bear just to live any more of his life without legs or arms. It's an amazing guy, how God has used him to promote the cause of Jesus Christ and His goodness and glory in Nick's life. No legs and arms. The truth is, beloved, everyone's got burdens. You might think that somebody else's burdens are much smaller than you. It's been my experience. You dig in their life a little bit, they got significant burdens. We need to share our burdens. We need to shoulder our burdens. Lest anyone here would think, well, okay, Phil, I'll give it to you. You've been through some stuff. You're carrying, you've had some burdens in your life. We're going to look real quickly. We're going to pierce into the writer of the vast majority of the New Testament. We're going to look into Paul's burden very quickly. If you would, it's kind of like a sermon inside of a sermon. If you're at Galatians chapter 6, go back just a couple pages and you'll find yourself at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Remain seated, and I'm going to read just a few verses to you, and I pray this is a blessing to you. This is the Apostle Paul. He wrote 17 books of the New Testament. You would think that when he gave his life to Jesus Christ, Jesus miraculously took all the burdens off him. Not at all. He went through it, shipwrecked and so forth. Paul went through it. And here we're going to learn about Paul's storm. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, the letter half of 7. Therefore, and listen to this, he had such spiritual insight, he recognized that his burden, his thorn, was given to him by God so that he would not exalt himself. Listen, therefore, so that I not exalt myself, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment me, so I would not exalt myself. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will boast, I will gladly boast all the more about the weaknesses so that Christ's power may reside in me. So because of Christ, I am pleased in weaknesses and insults and catastrophes and persecutions and in pressures, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Very quickly, little outline for you of Paul's thorn. Paul's thorn. Letter A, it was a gift. Are you telling me my deformed child is a gift from God? That's exactly what I'm telling you. Phil, are you telling me your daughter dying at birth was a gift from God? That's exactly what I'm telling you. Are you telling me my cancer? Phil, I have cancer. I have stage 4 cancer. I'll be dead in 3 months. Are you telling me that's a gift from God? If you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, I do. Paul understood that his thorn was a gift. Let's pretend for a moment that Jesus took all the thorns out of Paul's life. I don't know about you, it'd be really hard for me to read the Bible. That guy does not know what it feels like to be me. This book cannot relate to me. But this book, inspired by God, was written by people who went through it, who were bearing burdens and bearing a thorn. Letter A on your outline, it was a gift. It was given to Paul. Here's this gift. And again, Paul had such spiritual insights. Twice in verse 7 he says, so I would not exalt myself. When's the last time you've done that? Jesus, thank you for that person that just cut me off on the road. Woof! I was getting a little high and mighty. Thank you for that. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you for that car accident I was in. Thank you for that person that died in my life. What a gift from you. Thank you, Jesus. That is not how we roll. This is where Paul was. He understood that all things come from God, blessings and sometimes difficulties. And it was a gift. He counted as a gift. It was a gift given to him. Letter B on your outline. It had a purpose again. Twice in verse 7 again, so he wouldn't become conceited. This is not always fun to do. The burdens I've been through, taking a step back and said, boy, you spoil people. Oh, I would have loved to have grown up at First Baptist Church, Crothersville. I would have loved to have grown up in Crothersville. You wouldn't believe the place I came from. Evidently, Jesus loves you guys more than me. And I'll tell you, one could easily get bitter at God and mad at God until you take a step back and realize all things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purposes. He's got a divine plan. And rather than getting bitter, realizing how God's made me and God's made you for his purposes in this world. It had a purpose for Paul, and probably for you as well, keeps us from getting conceited, keeps us humble. Letter C on your outline. Lest anybody here think it was in his mind, he is being tormented. No, it was in the flesh. It says in this verse 7, in the flesh, it caused pain and discomfort. Some of you have walked through someone dying. And what we do in hospice care, our main goal is to remove pain. It's palliative care. That is, you know you're going to die. We know you're going to die. What we can do is remove any pain with medication, so forth. And palliative care, we try to remove that burden. For Paul, this was in the flesh. It caused pain and discomfort. We don't know what it was. It could have been poor eyesight. We know that Paul had poor eyesight. Some kind of physical ailments. And here is amazing. He didn't have codeine. He didn't have Oxycontin. He didn't have any pain pills. They couldn't give him a shot. He couldn't push the button for morphine. Paul, you're stuck. Whatever your pain was, you're going to have to live with it. Unlike 2017, for us, we got pain medication. Here, it caused him pain and discomfort. It was in his flesh. Let me tell you, beloved, why that's important. I don't know about you, But when someone else has already done the journey and someone else has been through it, misery does love company. And his pain, to know that he went through this, maybe I can too. If this is one of Jesus' heralded saints who wrote, again, 17 books of the New Testament, and he went down that path, maybe I can too. It caused pain and discomfort. Lastly, letter D on your outline, it reminds us of our enemy. That burden that you're bearing, it reminds us of our enemy. It says in God's word, a messenger of Satan to harass me. You get that picture? Paul has this, whatever his physical ailment was, it was calling him physical pain, he had this messenger of Satan to harass him. Boy, I heard a story one time that I think illustrates the point. If you ever been to Seattle, it's incredible to be in Seattle during the salmon runs, and all the salmon are running back from the ocean and going up to where they are to lay eggs and all that. Well, this one man realized that he had herring, and he thought, I get $1 a pound for herring right on the ocean. If I drive 8 hours in, I can get like $4 or $5 a pound. This guy's crunching the numbers. This is a pretty good deal. I can make a lot of money. And so he goes and gets himself a tanker, and he stuffs it with herring. Drives 8 hours in, opens it up, all the herring are dead. No one's going to buy dead fish. His load is worth nothing. I don't understand what happened. Goes back, does the same thing. Loads up the tanker truck with herring, drives 8 hours in, they're all dead. And he's just baffled. He goes back to the port where he got all the fish from, and he's complaining and hearing, my fish keeps dying. How do you keep your fish alive? Well, this Native American man is overhearing the conversation, and he says, what do you stand to make off of that load of fish? I'll probably make about $10,000. Well, this astute Native American man said, I'll tell you what, for $3,000, I'll transport your herring, and they'll be alive when I get there. I'm still making $7,000 out of this deal, not a bad deal. So, okay, I'll play, go ahead. Fills up the truck with herring. This Native American man, older man, drives 8 hours in, opens up the top of the tanker, and the herring were swimming all over the place. That guy said, how in the world? What did you do? He said, look carefully. Look carefully. Never said anything. See this. He put a barracuda in there. The herring had been swimming for their lives the last 8 hours because they were afraid to get bit by the barracuda. He put the native enemy of the herring in the tank with them because they were running for the last 8 hours to stay alive. Are you getting the point? Are you there, Christian? Are you low? Do I have an amen? Amen anywhere? God's given you a messenger of Satan to keep you on your toes, to remind you on a daily basis who the enemy is. This isn't a game we're playing when you wake up tomorrow morning. When you leave your house, in some cases in your house, you are constantly confronted with the wickedness and evil of Satan. It should keep you on your toes. Never taking it for granted. It reminds us of our enemy. In this passage is what's so amazing to me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Let me tell you, beloved. In the Bible, in the New Testament, if you have a red letter edition, you have Jesus speaking. In Revelation, you have Jesus speaking. In the Gospels and in Acts, you'll see in your red-letter Bibles, Jesus speaking. Nowhere else in Scripture does Jesus speak other than here. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, chapter 12, verse 7. And let me tell you why I believe why. This is a hardball question. Why does good things happen? Why does bad things happen to good people? That is a tough question to answer. It's tough. From a pastor's point of view, it's tough. I've been around some godly women, and I'm thinking, why in the world did God give that husband to her? Why in the world, those kids came from a good Christian home. Why are those parents having to deal with that? Why did that teenage girl go do this? Why did that 35-year-old get cancer and leave her teenage kids behind? Life's tough. And then it says, Jesus says, this question of why bad things happen to good people, let me tell you what I believe in Scripture. I believe Jesus rolled back the clouds, and Jesus speaks. You see that in your red letter edition if you have it? My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. There it is. God's going to use your difficulties for his glory. And see what Paul says? Jesus whispered these words to him. It's okay, Paul. I know the thorn. I sent it to you. My power is sufficient. My grace is perfected in weakness. And so you know how Paul, well, I don't want my power. I like just a little bit of power and no burdens. That's my choice, God. That's not how Paul goes. He says, that's okay. Then I will boast all the more gladly for my thorns and my burdens. And that's how we should be. I'm bald. I got news for you. He ain't coming back. It's just there. That's one of my... Okay, I'm not Aaron. Look at that head of hair. That's not fair. You understand what I'm saying? That's not fair. Where's God in all that? He's got all this hair, and look at this. I'll boast about it, okay? One of the ways I boast about it is God made a lot of great heads, and the rest he put hair on, okay? I will boast of my weaknesses. That's what Paul says. Lastly, and then we're done. Number three on your outline. I must share my burdens. I must shoulder my burdens. Lastly, then we're done. I must shift my burdens. Oh, this is where it gets good. Put your seatbelt on. Not only do we share our burdens with others, not only at times do we just have to shoulder them up and live with them and deal with them, but lastly, verse 14. Look at verse 14 again. But as for me, I will never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. We shift into Jesus. Give them to Jesus. Give your burdens to Jesus. You don't have to keep on sharing them. You don't have to keep on shouldering them. Give your burdens to Jesus. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Cast all your cares upon me. Jesus says, give me your burdens. The key point on your outline, not only do I must shift my burdens, but the lost not giving their sins to Jesus is almost as bad as Christians, as the saved taking them back. Again, the lost not giving their burdens to Jesus is almost as bad as the saved taking them back. When you came to Jesus, if you've come to Jesus and you gave him your burdens, you have no business taking them back. That's the miraculous work of salvation. He takes your sins and casts them, as the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west. He dumps them in the deepest part of the sea and puts up a no fishing sign. So if Jesus took your burdens, your sins, whatever is weighing you down, he took that away from you, you have no business taking it back. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. As I close, I heard this incredible story about the love of God and his love for you. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never truly asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're a member of this church. Maybe you've been baptized here, but never truly gave your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe there's some in here this morning that you think you're saved, but you really know down deep inside you're not. When that tornado rolled through Henryville, you thought, oh boy, I hope it doesn't hit here. I don't know where I'm going to go. And maybe in your heart of hearts, you question whether or not you've ever truly given your life to Jesus Christ. Others, you're here and you say, I know I haven't. I'm still in the information collecting mode. I understand that. Well, I heard this story, and I pray that God might use this in your life to communicate his love for you and me. There is this little boy, his name was Johnny, and this little girl whose name was Susie, and Susie had some serious health problems and required a blood transfusion. Her brother Johnny was old enough to give her blood, but yet young enough where he didn't really understand all about what a blood transfusion is. And so they put Johnny in one bed and Susie in another bed, and they put the lines together, and Johnny's blood begins to flow over to his sister Susie. About a half hour or so went by, an hour went by. They disconnected everybody. They wheeled Johnny into another room. And Johnny said this: "How long is it going to take?" The nurse said, "What do you mean, Johnny? How long is what going to take? How long is it going to take until I'm dead?" And the nurse said, "Johnny, what do you mean?" "Well, I just gave all my blood to my sister. Doesn't that mean I'm going to die?" And the nurse said, "Johnny, no, no, no. We just took some of your blood and gave it to your sister. Not all your blood, just some, Johnny." And then the nurse said this: "Johnny, why would you give your blood knowing that you would die? Why would you do that?" And little Johnny said this: "Because I love my sister. I don't want her to die. And I'd gladly give all my blood if it meant keeping Susie alive." That's what Jesus did for you on the cross. He said, "I don't want you to go. I don't want you. I don't want you. I'll die for you. I love my human creation so much. I don't want you to die. I'll die on your behalf." Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? What's it mean to become a follower of Jesus Christ? Very simply, I was drinking in a bar on a Saturday night, and I gave my life to Jesus on a Sunday afternoon. I never went back to the place. Jesus saved my soul. He saved my wallet. He saved my tongue. He saved all parts of my body. Jesus saved me. And he loves you so much. He wants you to have the assurance, 100%, not I hope so or I think so or I was baptized at First Baptist. He wants you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you were to have a heart attack right now, if you have cancer in you, that you will die and spend eternity with him in heaven. Well, how do you do that? Very simply, you need to recognize that you're a sinner. You need to survey your life and understand that you sinned against holy God. Secondly, you need to understand that Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone can remove that sin from your life. Not being a member here, not being baptized here, nothing else. Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone can heal you of the infection of sin. And there's one last thing you have to do. So many people know that. So many people will be in church in a couple weeks with Easter. You need to give your life to Jesus Christ. You need to say, "Dear Jesus, my life is yours. I am signing over the title of my life to you. You now own me. I'm no longer Satan's messenger. I am now yours. You control it all," with your heads bowed and eyes closed. And as I pray, if you would like to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, would you please raise your hand now? Anyone? Anyone? Let me pray for you. And then we're going to be singing in just a moment. If you're not sure where you're at, and you'd like to, you're not here by accident this morning. I'm not here by accident this morning. God loves you and wants you to be his son or daughter today. Father, I thank you for everyone here today. Thank you, Father, that they are created by your holy hands. And, oh God, I pray right now in the name of your son, Jesus, that if anyone here has never asked Jesus Christ to be a Lord and Savior, that, Father, that you would move mightily today and do the miraculous work of salvation in their lives today. Father, thank you for each one here. Oh God, I pray for those who do know and love you, that they would cast all their cares upon you today. Oh God, bless their lives. Draw each one here to yourself. Use us in this world as we leave here today. In Jesus' name.